This is KUT. Another round of Medicaid cuts go into place today in Texas. These latest cuts have received criticism because of who is affected: babies with developmental disabilities. KUT's Ashley Lopez visits with some of the families and providers who are wondering what to do next.
About 4 years ago, Myra Reyes was pregnant with her son, Gerardo. She was well into her second trimester, and she went to see a doctor. And unfortunately, she got some bad news.
When I was 5 months, they told me Gerardo had hydrocephalus and spina bifida. So we didn't know what the outcome would be.
The prognosis was not good at all. In fact, when he was born, doctors said Gerardo didn't have enough brain tissue and likely wouldn't live very long.
The doctor told me, if I were you, I would just take him home, give him all your love, spend the time you can with him, because he could be days, weeks, months, not even a year that you're going to have Gerardo.
The family was sent home with hospice. But as Reyes puts it, Gerardo hasn't gone anywhere. 3.5 years later, Gerardo is still here. And it hasn't been easy, but after multiple surgeries, he surpassed what all his doctors expected.
I mean, he's overcome a lot. They told us that if he would live, he would be like a vegetable kid. And if you see Gerardo, Gerardo loves to talk, to sing.
That's Gerardo singing there. He's a ball of energy right now, darting around the living room. And just like any other three-year-old, he's interested in the microphone I'm holding up to his mother.
Part of Gerardo being the way he is, it's because also, you know, any baby can came along when he was like, I want to say 3 months.
So if you caught any of that, any baby can is what Reyes says was a game changer in Gerardo's life. When he was 3 months old, Medicaid started paying for therapies aimed at helping him overcome some of his developmental issues. Reyes is an attentive mother. She says her commitment to treating Gerardo like a regular child is why he's doing so well. However, she says this would have been nearly impossible without the therapist.
Things that maybe us as parents can't do, the therapist can show us, or maybe as we're going through the process, learning with them too. You know, that is awesome, because there might be things as parents like, oh, I didn't know that.
Reyes learned different stretches and exercises to do with Gerardo, and all of it was paid for by Medicaid. And this entire program, which is called Early Childhood Intervention, is about to go through a big shakeup. Lawmakers cut $350 million from it last year. Providers sued the state to try to stop the cuts, but they lost. As a result, the cuts are going into effect tomorrow.
I think it is potentially the make or break. For a lot of people.
That's Chris Adams. He's the chief financial officer for Any Baby Can. That's the nonprofit group that helped Gerardo. Adams says his group provides similar services to roughly 550 families in Central Texas every year. Medicaid makes up 70 to 80% of those cases. And Adams says they have been suffering through big cuts to their Medicaid contracts for years. Usually they seek out donations to make up for it, but that's getting harder.
We are already working on a gap that we have to make up with philanthropic dollars. So this just spreads that gap even further to a point where, you know, I think it's for some it will break the bank. I mean, just because there's no further that they can stretch.
Besides nonprofits like Any Baby Can, there are some for-profit groups who also provide these services, which, by the way, are federally mandated.
And so when there are cuts to the contract, when there are reductions in Medicaid reimbursements, there are no accompanying reductions in the number of children we are required to serve. There are no reductions in the amount of services that we will be required to provide.
That's Andy Miller, the president and CEO of Any Baby Can. He says this means some providers will have to make tough decisions, including the decision whether to shut down. And that, he says, will hurt rural areas the most because they didn't have a lot of options to begin with. And Miller says we end up paying for that anyway.
So we can wait and underperform, you know, in serving children 0 to 3, wait till they get into school, and then spend more money and more resources to try to ensure that they are successful. And what we know is those interventions are more difficult and have a less likelihood of success than if we were to intervene in these first 3 years.
And advocates say they would have pointed this out if they were asked about these cuts when they were proposed last year. But the cuts were influenced by a Medicaid payment study, not stakeholders. Ann Dunkelberg with the left-leaning Center for Public Policy Priorities has a major problem with that study. She says access wasn't even a factor when they calculated those new rates.
Obviously, you know, a rate analysis that doesn't take into account what a rate cut would do to access to care probably hasn't finished the job.
Dungleberg says the way they did this also didn't leave a lot of room for flexibility in case problems come up. So the hope now is for advocates to convince lawmakers to reverse the cuts during the legislative session that starts in January. Dungleberg says for providers who rely on Medicaid reimbursements, this is a familiar story.
You know, too often it is a case of a little bit of overreach by the legislature. They cut too deep. And then they hear about it.
I asked two lawmakers that oversee Medicaid budgets in the state, Republican State Representative Ford Price and Republican State Senator Charles Schortner, to comment on this. But neither office replied to my request. Even so, advocates are going to have to make their pitch when there's less money coming in because of low gas prices. And other agencies are already clamoring for more funding. Ashley Lopez, KUT News.